Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD with Philip Gentry and Mr. Tommy Springer.
In the house.
And we are back in the studio today after a field trip, so to speak. How many field trips did you take in school where you got to go shoot guns?
None.
With the boss?
None.
And
none.
And do a radio broadcast.
But we did pick up some Civil War, bullets and stuff that we wasn't supposed to be picking up, but that teachers wasn't looking. You know, there'd been some bad rain.
Yeah.
You know, and I was in school and it washed a lot of stuff down, and there it was.
I thought you were talking about last week at the Clinton House Plantation.
Oh man, that was Philip. That's going to go down to Springer's memory for a long time.
Have you had a chance to get any of the culinary dishes in the way?
Hey, look, here's what's going down. Here's what's going down this afternoon.
All right,
or maybe tomorrow. I'm seeing how they're marinating right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Springer's fixing to put chuckers and quail on the grill, dog.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mike Johnson. Thank you, Clinton House.
Yeah.
Thank you and Steve for being great shots. Because I was just.
Yeah.
I was just, as they were wounded and, drifting it about 30 yards, Springer to get his last little.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
You were the long-range guy.
I was the long-range guy.
After we fired several warning shots, Springer would be the one with his.
I think we should do a segment on, make sure you know what gun you're bringing to what situation.
What,
in that
choke?
Exactly.
Springer's using an extra full choke.
No, I was using a modified, and I needed an improve. I'm just saying. I had two guns in the truck.
Yeah.
And we wasn't sure what we was going to do.
Yep.
So, there you go. It was a great time.
Of course,
man.
Of course, Mike did tell us what we were going to do before
we
left.
Right at the last minute, and Springer just, I folded.
Don't listen.
Springer don't listen.
It
was the pheasant thing in my brain, okay? I knew that's a big bird.
He was outside kissing babies and shaking hands.
It was a fun day.
That's what he was doing.
Even though the weather didn't cooperate, but it was
so
a fun day.
We have got a great show for you this week. I guess we'll call this our pre-Christmas show because it's our pre-Christmas show. And we're going to jump into, last time, a couple weeks ago, we did a segment on Christmas gifts for the outdoors.
Right.
And did that on a timely basis, but I couldn't help but throw in the Upstate Outdoors blog some last-minute Christmas gifts, and they're a little bit kind of off the beaten path, but you probably identify with this as self-reliant gifts.
Live my life like that every day.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that on the Upstate Outdoors blog. And then we are going to talk to, I'm not even sure which division he's in now. We're going to talk to Matt Airy. Matt is a FLW angler, but I recently saw that he might be coming over to Bass and fishing with Bass from
decisions,
MLF.
Decisions.
So not real sure about that, but I guess we'll ask him when the time comes during the first hour. And then we got a couple of DNR news. I thought this was kind of funny. We get some calls and texts, emails from people about, what'd be great? It'd be like some DNR stories about some of them idiots that they catch and some of the dumb stuff that they do.
We got it.
And we got a couple of those that were published. It's funny because the DNR officers really won't tell you a whole lot about that.
No.
I mean, they'll tell you about, there was this one time.
Blah, blah, blah.
But they don't want to ruin their cases by going on the radio and talking about,
what's actually going on.
And give you the detail that you'd like. So we got this, got a couple of cases that they've made in. You just shake your head. And go.
I'm shaking my head already. Because.
And in the second hour, we're going to bring you the Roadkill Cafe. Springer's already let the pheasant out of the bag.
Yeah. Cool bird, man. We'll get into that.
What you marinating that stuff in?
Wild Turkey 101.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit of some other stuff.
Wild Turkey 101, that's what you studied in school, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got a major in Wild Turkey 101.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I've also found a, and this is for the Springers out there who are out in the deer season, fourth quarter.
Cold.
The end of fourth quarter, 2-minute warning is going off, and how to stay warm, which is a key to success if you're going to stay in the woods. And there are still some deer out there.
Yeah, some nice ones being.
Because they ain't nowhere else.
No.
I mean, they're out there. If you
food is
find
key.
Them,
food is key.
Food is key in being in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
And so we'll talk about some ways to stay warm when you're out in the deer stand from CarolinaSportsman.com. And then It wouldn't be a Christmas show.
No.
If we didn't invite our
Santa Claus,
our heavenly guidance counselor on Upside Outdoors.
Absolutely.
And I know Chris Wells does a lot of praying. Probably more so.
He prays a lot for Springer.
Yeah. But I'm sure he prays for both of us and all of our listeners. And so we're going to have Chris Wells on the show and just kind of a wrap up. You know, I thought about it last week. I probably shouldn't say this to him when we get him on the air, but we'll probably next time we do a field trip,
okay,
we'll invite the whole crew. We get of course Moneypenny's got to stay here and push all the buttons,
right?
But she did get some of the she did get some of the.
Here's what I see in my mind, Philip. A quail hunt thingamajig, and then we get our wacky worms and our floating worms.
Yeah,
and then it's a bass tournament in the ponds.
Okay,
you see what I'm talking about?
Maybe we'll do another show out there during the summertime.
I'm just saying.
And Chris can give us some on the water pointers for fishing in the Clinton House Plantation ponds there. Then we'll wrap up the show with our calendar of events. And then for our parting shot, it is a story about a deer poacher and a rather unusual punishment that was leveled on him, along with some other things. And Springer's just shaking his head. Springer, don't give it up.
I'm not saying nothing.
Let's save it till the end of the
show.
Yes, sir. But we got a good parting shot for you today. So, you ready for Christmas yet?
You know, it's this time of the year. You know, I just wish it'd kind of come on and be gone.
Yeah. It's like that. You know what I was doing? I have been listening to 98.9 all week.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been listening to 98.9 all week, trying to get into the Christmas spirit.
How'd that work?
You know, after a week of listening to Christmas carols.
Yeah. Do you need a beer?
I'm like, man, they've been doing this. I remember they started about the time deer season started.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Wow. Ugh. I mean, I'm not trying to knock nobody here, but good Lord.
I love Sheree Taylor, though.
I do.
I love her voice. I really do.
But it's just, okay.
And shaking the Christmas tree?
Yeah.
I'm cross-promoting here, Sheree.
I know. I just go, that takes dedication right there, because.
Yeah. And it's, you know.
I mean, I like songs, and I like, you know, getting the spirit a little bit, but, you know, how many weeks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I couldn't do it. Well, let's get our break. When we come back, we will jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog and tell you a couple of unusual Christmas gifts that every outdoorsman, I promise you, would like to have.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Philip Gentry, Tommy Springer, Moneypenny, Merry Christmas. Right back at you.
And Upstate Outdoors is back on your radio. It's our pre-Christmas show.
You better get to the store and get it.
Yeah.
Because time's running out.
I got Christmas carols going in my head.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Wow.
What's your favorite Christmas carol?
Wow. Are you going to be shocked by this?
No.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I knew it had something to do with reindeer. Remember that, you remember that promo we did a couple years ago?
Yeah, I was shooting Santa's reindeer.
Where you were shooting reindeer off the...
My 45 or my 44.
We should have had them put that back in the rotation.
Or my 357, I know it.
That was a classic. We should have won an award for that.
Dude, that was... You came up with the idea, and I just went with it, and it was just... Every time it came on the radio, I laughed.
And Moneypenny, she was the one that found the gunshot.
The gun. It was from a Clint Eastwood clip from an old movie.
That everybody called in and said, I'm driving around, and I hear them gunshots. My kids get scared. That's what it sounds like. That's what gunshots sound like. Well, I got the idea for the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Oh, my goodness.
Basically out of necessity. And let me ask you this. Are you the kind of guy who has, like, and I'm not going to talk about a prepper. I mean, like, we have Alex Garcia on, you know, talking about the self-reliance school that, about, you know, being prepared and stuff like that. I'm not really a prepper, but I do like to have, like, stuff. You know, I like to have stuff, you know, just in case, like, you know, if the power goes out, I got a flashlight.
I'm prepped for stuff like that.
Flashlight. You know, if something breaks and you're away from, you know, I got, the, you know, the pocket knife or the tool or whatever, and I'm fixed, self-reliant.
Right.
In
a small way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm carrying a backpack.
I hate to use a cliche. Common sense.
Yeah. Well, during this time of year, everybody's asking, what is the best gift for the outdoorsman in your life? Well, most outdoorsmen I know just go ahead and buy what they want or need as soon as they figure out that they need it.
Yeah.
I need that. I'm going to get it.
Two of them.
Second, it's extremely difficult to guess what specific gear that person fits that person best, because outdoor enthusiasts tend to be very user-specific as well as brand conscious.
Yeah.
You don't want to get him in something, you know, Remington if he's a Browning man.
Right.
Anyway, one thing that almost all outdoorsmen have in common is the desire to be self-reliant when the time comes. Now, a guy who prides himself on how big of a flat-screen TV he has in his man cave and how comfortable the recliners are secretly yearns for the opportunity that he can self-sustain himself when the going gets tough.
That guy's going down.
Now, to that end, a great Christmas present idea might be one or more of the essential tools for self-reliance. And most guys have these items tucked away somewhere in a pack, or if they don't, they wish they did. Number one would be a multi-tool, okay? And it doesn't matter how many real tools a guy has in his garage or toolbox. It's the one that's in his hand when he needs it that counts. Now, Leatherman, SOG, Gerber all make quality multi-tools at a variety of price ranges that do everything from de-hook a fish to signal the space shuttle.
You can throw Swiss Army knife in there, too.
There you go. Now, number two is a heavy-duty tarp. Now, it doesn't seem like much, but a multitude of ills can be fixed with a leaky tent, camper, or even as a standalone structure by packing a medium to large-size heavy-duty tarp, some bungee cords, and a roll of duct tape on your next outing. Tarps with grommets along the edges are easier to hold in place than a solid tarp. Now, number three, you got me a tarp for Christmas? What, woman, what's wrong with you?
Hey, if you don't have the tarp, make sure you have the duct tape.
There you go. Number three is a canteen. Maybe that's not the right word to use for it. The canteens have changed from the old clunky tin container that you used to carry around with you as a kid in the backyard to sophisticated vessels for storing and, in some cases, even purifying water. Now, Camelback is one of the more popular brand names, with containers made from high-impact plastic, stainless steel, stuff like that. And, you know, Springer's always got his – he's always got him some liquid with
him. I don't have a canteen, but I have something else, and I can't remember what the name of it is right now.
It's called a flask.
That's it?
Yeah. Number four, 550 paracord. Now, a roll of paracord in a bug-out pack has thousands of uses. It can be used as lashings for a makeshift blind. It is strong enough, especially when doubled or tripled, to drag a game animal out of the woods. A paracord is waterproof for long periods, making a good replacement for duck decoy line or to tether a boat or, you know.
Tie something down in the back of the truck that you didn't expect you was going to be hauling?
I don't know if you'd tow something with that or not. How many times would you have to tow another car? How many times would you have
No, I don't have tether that big in my truck. I've 50. Got some good nylon, but I don't have that, cuz.
And number five would be a flashlight.
Today's, gotta have it.
Today's flashlights weigh less and are 100 times brighter than the old light you keep in the drawer by the sink.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in addition, many are powered by smaller, high-capacity batteries that even have the capability of recharging.
Yep.
You just plug them in. The bulbs also last longer and burn brighter thanks to LED technology. And I like the ones that got the salt flashlights. They got the sharp edges around them.
Right.
So, you know, you use that in one hand and then you pistol in the other. And if the dude that you come across has just got a knife, you stab him with a flashlight.
See, you're a walking violation of a bad guy's imagination, man. I like it, dude. That's how we roll here on Upstate Outdoors.
Yeah, yeah.
Head on a swivel.
Number six, hand warmers. Goodness knows we have plenty of those, and we'll talk about that in a little bit coming up in the how to stay warm. But chemical heat packs designed to treat sore muscles and strains also do a remarkable job of keeping you warm during cold weather. You can place the packs on your torso and wrist and help the warm blood flow into your extremities. In other situations, the packs can also be used to warm food or beverages, using the pack to warm the outside of the container. Uh-huh. Number eight and final one, fire starter. Okay.
Now,
there's two kind of ways. You can do a medicine bottle filled with dryer lint and a couple of trick birthday candles and a half dozen strike anywhere matches. That's a pretty invaluable fireproof tool. It'll start a fire and takes up very little space or weight in a backpack or tackle box or field pack. But another option is those newfangled magnesium strips. They got a little piece of flint in them.
Yeah.
And those are pretty cool just to mess around with.
Yeah.
You take your knife and you scrape some of them off and make you a little pile of the magnesium shavings, and then you hit that flint when you get enough. And it doesn't take a whole lot of spark.
Yeah.
And poop. There you go. You know, everybody secretly wants to be Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Yeah.
For about
half
a day.
2 days.
two days?
2 days.
Yeah, 2 days.
2 days and I'm done with that, dog.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't got no fishing rod.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in a cool place, but I have no fishing rod. It's not good.
Yeah. Naked and afraid?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Here's the thing. The fire starter, man, Springer's always got a big lighter. Yeah. Guaranteed.
There you go. Well, you can throw any or all of these items in a durable tote bag or a pack, and that can be tucked away in a vehicle or in an emergency kit, and you'll have a gift that no true outdoorsman won't be grateful for.
He'd like it.
Yep. So, there you go.
That's good stuff,
Phil. I told you it'd be unusual. So,
but that's
where I'm at this time of year.
That's old school.
Yep. Old school.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to our break now, and when we come back, what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. Whatever you tell me to talk about, Phil.
We got.
That's what I do. I just talk.
We have got Matt Airy
on
the hole. We're going to talk to Matt about some fishing.
What he's going to do.
And see what 2019 got in store for him.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned. We're going to talk a little fishing right after these messages.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD with Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer. And we've been tarsal glands deep in deer hunting.
And a little feathers, too.
For a long time. And we did talk to Chris Wells a little bit. And Chris always brings us back to bass fishing. But we got, bass fishermen are some of the biggest outdoorsmen on both sides.
Agreed.
And we have got our buddy Matt Airy. From right up the road in on the show with us. And Matt, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
I appreciate you having me, Philip.
Now, before, like I said, before we really got into to deer season and all, the big topic of conversation was the emergence of MLF, the Major League Fishing, and some folks going moving here, moving there. And you have been an icon in FLW, but you're going to go over next year and fish with the Bassmaster Elites. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I am, Philip, and I'm super excited about the opportunity. There's been a big shakeup in our industry. Obviously, everybody knows what's been going on the last few months, and it's just been crazy, man. I got the call from actually Mark Zone is the one who called me and initiated my invitation. There was 14 or 15 of us that got selected from FLW to be invited to come over. I think all but two of those guys accepted, to my knowledge. And there was a lot of things, FLW has been, that's where I started. I started there in 2003 fishing BFL, 2005 fishing the FLW Tours of Co-Angler, and just moved up through the ranks. And, the rest was history. Everything I've ever known in professional fishing has been with FLW. Great organization, great people, can't say enough about them. Very family-oriented. They make you, my wife, my girls, they make everybody feel like family when they would travel with me, get to go to events. I mean, they run a phenomenal show over there and a great, great platform to get my career going. And, and I hate to say it like that, to get my career going. I mean, I had a great career over there. I'm not going to say I'll never be back there. But what the Elites has right now that I think nobody else has in our industry, and they have a 75-man field for next year. That was one of the first things that attracted me right off the bat. The second was, their live coverage is truly unmatched. I mean, they have 4 days of live coverage, and if you just, they sent me a packet of all the media numbers, and, I was blown away. When I saw the numbers of people that tuned in and watched that live coverage, the number of just the social media interaction, the engagement that they get, through ESPN2 is still where their show is. They're adding the Pursuit Channel next year, so that's another platform to get some more publicity. For my personal brand and my sponsor's brand, I felt like it was a good move. I talked to Emily a long time about it. I actually told Jay Kumar from Bass Blaster, he we were talking about this the other week, and I said, man, I never thought I could spend, you know, 75 hours on the telephone in a span of 4 or 5 days, but I managed to do it somehow. I was calling every professional angler I know that's a close friend, along with all my sponsors, you know, family, guys from Bass, guys from FLW, and just trying to weigh all the pros and cons. But, I mean, it came out to where it was extremely one-sided. And like I said, I'm very excited about it for multiple reasons. The smaller field, guaranteed paychecks through 75th place. You know, every event that we fish, you're going home with something. So I like that. And, you know, it goes all the way back for me to when I was a kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, getting up and watching TNN Outdoors with Bob Cobb. I don't know if y'all remember the Bass.
I do. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Woo!
That FLW wasn't even around till 96, roughly, and that's what initially lit my fire into pursuing a career in tournament bass fishing. And, you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to step on that Bassmaster Classic stage one day and fulfill that childhood dream. So now that, you know, that becomes an opportunity, and I look forward to it.
And you were talking about your personal brand. Everybody's got to, you know, they're getting the word out about fishing and about their sponsors and everything. And you and Brian Thrift have, and it's not really new, but you've undertaken an enterprise, Let's Talk Fish. Give us some information about that.
Yeah, so what's so cool about the show is actually it was the brainchild of Jeff Walsh, who's a mutual friend of Brian and myself. We met for breakfast one day up at the Shelby Cafe here in Shelby, North Carolina, over some liver mush, which is one of our our favorite breakfast foods around here. Not many people are a fan of it, but I like it. And it was his idea. You know, he said, you know, you got you and Brian that live 10 minutes apart right here in Shelby. He said we should take advantage of an opportunity to go out and help people and teach people and let them inside our minds and as far as a professional angler goes and give them tips and techniques and information. And you know, we goof off and we have a good time too. We do a lot of joking and Brian and I pick at each other. And I mean, we do that. We're like that in real life every day anyway. I mean, you know, we talk about it every day on the phone and we hang out here in Shelby when we get the chance and do a little hunting and fishing together here and there. But we have a good time with it and we really help people with it. And right off the bat, we started in August of 2017. We started getting some really, really good feedback. And, you know, our Facebook page is grown very rapidly. It is a live Facebook show. It's on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's called Let's Talk Fish Live on Facebook. We have an Instagram page just to keep our fans updated, but we actually had to relaunch our Instagram page. It's Let's Talk Fish Official now because our other one got stolen. And apparently that happens more often than I knew about. But we have it a little better protected now. So, but, yeah, it's great. We're actually got some – you know, it goes to a podcast, and we're getting, I think Jeff told me tonight, 7,000-8,000 downloads a month. So it's growing rapidly, and our numbers just seem to be climbing, and the interest seems to be climbing, and we enjoy it. I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun to sit in the studio with Brian, and like tonight we did frog fishing. You know, that was a lot of fun, and people really – we tell people our setups, our line setups, our colors – selections, why we use popping frogs over regular frogs, when we do it, things like that. And then we take questions live. So we interact with people live every time we do a show. And I think that's what's so engaging to our audience. And like I said, we have a good time with it. We do giveaways every show. We have trivia questions at the end of the show. So it's a cool deal. We love it. And hopefully, knock on wood, we're planning to have a booth at the Bassmaster Classic this year. So that'll be a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Well, Matt, before we let you go, how was your deer season this year?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Oh, man, honestly, Philip, I was fortunate. I hunt a couple different farms here in the county, and then I run about 13 or 14 trail cameras on those farms, and I found some of the biggest deer I've ever found this year to hunt, and had some really close encounters. I killed a few does with my bow, and then I ended up shooting a big one with my bow, and I lost him. And then a buddy of my best friend, actually, I took him over here to this property, and he's the only other one that has permission to hunt, and he ended up killing this deer with a rifle after I had wounded him with a bow. So I was glad to see he was still alive, but then my buddy ended up getting him later, and I had two more deer, both actually, they're both dead now, so, but they were both 6.5-year-old deer, and one was a 133 10 point, and the other one was a 140-inch 9 point. So for this area, those are giants, and you know, I'd pursue them as hard as I could for as long as I could, and the rifle hunters got the best of me, needless to say. And I don't have anything against rifle hunters now. Don't let me misdirect anybody. I'm just a bow hunter at heart. I just love bow hunting, and that's what I do all the way up until the end of the season. So
awesome. Matt Airy, if you want to look him up on Facebook, go to Matt Airy Fishing, and you can link over to the Let's Talk Fish. Matt, thanks for being on the show with us always, and good luck next season with the Bassmaster Elite.
Best of luck to you, Matt.
Thanks again for having me.
You bet, man.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Philip Gentry, Tommy Springer, Merry Christmas. Stay tuned. We're going to wrap this show up.
And we're back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio. And I mentioned earlier in the show that we get calls. And, you know, we've had a couple of DNR folks on the show with us.
Several times.
And, you know, everybody's like, I'd like to hear some stories that the DNR folks could tell about some of the arrests they've made and stuff like that.
Can't do that.
And usually they won't unless it's something that's way, way, way old unless it's been so cleaned, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the names were scratched out. And it's funny because there was one that was posted on Facebook, on the DNR Facebook page. And earlier in the week when I saw it, it had the name of the person that they made this case off of.
Right.
And now it's even blacked out.
I see that.
So it wasn't. I wish I'd copied that. Did you print that?
I tried to print it,
Springer's my backup. Last week I had computer trouble.
I was having a problem printing that particular whatever's going on there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the deal was.
Well, anyway, so I got one, and these won't be as exciting, but there was actually, it was pretty cool how they made this case. A Hartsville man, which that's down Columbia and then go kind of southwest, I guess, Hartsville. On Friday, December 7th, DNR officers received a tip about a large pile of newspapers that were thrown over the 14th Street Bridge on Seeger's McKinnon Heritage Preserve in Hartsville.
I ain't delivering all these papers.
And I guess that's what it was. Officers,
I got my money.
Hey, they looked at me, and it's just a big mess. It's a bunch of rolled-up newspapers.
Right.
And it was all the same day, and it doesn't say what. It says the officers responded to the area and documented 35 visible bundles of undelivered newspapers with a delivery date of November the 21st. Now, once they determined which newspaper outlet the papers were from, the officers interviewed several supervisors about the incident.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Who didn't deliver their papers?
Right. Or who do you have delivering your papers?
Yeah, who do you have? After reviewing distribution, delivery, and route information provided by the newspaper outlet, it was determined that a local distributor, and I got his name down here, Mr. Cedric Benji Larry Ludd of Hartsville, was responsible.
Okay.
Mr. Ludd was the only distributor, that's tech talk for newspaper man.
Right, to get rid of that particular bunch of papers.
Well, who failed to deliver newspapers and newspaper inserts to 12 Hartsville area businesses on the exact day the newspapers were marked for delivery. Mr. Ludd was located and charged with litter in excess of 15 pounds.
That's a lot.
WMA abuse charges are still pending at this time. The incident remains under investigation.
Under investigation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess they're going to the solicitor's office.
That's the word they use, you know, until they actually drop the hammer on you.
Yeah. Okay. It's all under investigation until we do that. But, you know.
Because going to pay a heavy fine.
And, you know, the funny thing about it was DNR, you know, and we've had them in the studio, and they've said, you know, we are law enforcement officers. And the areas where they, you know, where they come into play, you know, littering would be, you know, any sheriff's department would have jurisdiction on that.
But
because this was on the WMA.
Right.
I tell you what.
It dumped off the bridge into the river.
Into the
creek or whatever.
And I guess because it's like the sheriff's department's like, I ain't getting in that water. That's called DNR. They'll get a boat down here.
Or they'll have somebody with them, hip waders all the way up to their chest. You
hip
know?
Waders in a dip net.
Exactly.
Dip that up.
That's how the DNR rolls.
But it's kind of cool how they were able to trace that back and find out who it was.
Yes.
I got another one here. This was on the DNR Facebook page. DNR officers received numerous complaints over the weekend in reference to a person on Facebook trying to sell a live deer farm.
I've seen that. What a moron.
Investigators were able to contact the subject via social media and determine that he had no intention of delivering the fawn, but wanted payment via a cash app. In other words, this is a scam. And what it is the guy, and his name was on there, and it's a picture of a fawn, I guess, in the back bed of a truck or something like that. Investigators were able to identify the individual and locate his residence where DNR officers contacted the subject. He admitted he took it too far, and it was supposed to be a joke.
How'd that work out?
Yeah. After officers explained the issue and the illegality of offering to sell protected native wildlife, officers determined that he was attempting to trick people into wiring him money for the deer, and he never possessed the deer. And that was all a big joke. I don't know if they can make a case on fraud.
I don't know.
Internet fraud.
I couldn't drink enough wild turkey to come up with a joke like that. Yeah. Okay, really?
He told officers he found the picture online and thought it would be a good joke.
A joke.
He thought it'd be a good way to get some money out of something.
He's in deep joke, all right.
Yeah, it's a good joke. What's the punchline? The subject was charged with offering to sell protective native wildlife and was fined.
Good.
And a guy here says... it's got a picture, like I said, of the deer, and they blacked out whoever's Facebook page it
was.
And it says, pet deer for sale, very kid-friendly, and loves to eat anything sweet. $150 are best offer. Going once, going twice, somebody come get this bee. B-I-H-H-H.
His English is even worse than Springer's.
Yeah. So,
and also his spelling.
But that's all a big joke.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
Yeah, that's all a big joke.
I mean,
joke.
Come on, people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, they made a case, and they charged him with what they could charge him with.
But, good.
You know.
I don't understand, man. I seen some other stuff in the DNR news. Somebody dumped a bunch of deer carcasses somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bunch of them, and they were all boned out and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it was multiple deer. Sounds like maybe somebody
a deer processor.
Yeah. I mean, it was a whole wad up. I mean, you know, and I get it because the varmints are going. What was that word? Clint Eastwood said in Josie Wales. The varmints. The worms has got to eat too.
Worms got to eat too. Worms and buzzards got to eat.
You know, I mean, seriously, I seen it today, and it was like 11, 12, 15 carcasses. They were all boned out. Yeah, the legs
and you know, that's a major expense for them is getting rid of the carcasses.
Absolutely.
And even, you know, I got a friend of mine who's a trapper, and he keeps a private place.
Right.
That he disposes of.
Absolutely.
You know, his carcasses.
It usually involves a bobcat in a hole.
Yeah. And that's what it is, digging that stuff out.
Exactly.
So
there you go. Stupid people doing stupid stuff.
And the DNR says if you come across any potential state game, fish, or boating violations, please contact our law enforcement division directly at 1-800-922-5431. And Sergeant Amy will send one of her people out there to get you.
What a bad attitude.
Yeah. Hey, Sergeant Amy was going to come. I might, you know.
Yeah.
She gave me a warning ticket one time.
I know the whole deal.
Yeah, she gave me a warning ticket.
She's a good kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I can call her a kid because she's a whole lot younger than me.
I yelled at her because I thought she was – I didn't realize she was a DNR officer.
Yeah, you thought she was fishing to intrude on your trolling lines.
I'm like, hey, I'm fishing here. Get out of the way. And she's like, well, we're going to talk.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, and that was good stuff.
We were wearing them out, too. Dadgummit, she pulled me off the lake.
Yeah.
Made me go get a life jacket.
Yeah, because you had a kid's life jacket.
Well, there's the end of the hour. We're going to go to our break. We'll bring you the news. And when we come back, Spring will have the Roadkill Cafe.
Right here in Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Philip Gentry, Tommy Springer here, wishing you a Merry Christmas. Stay tuned. We're fitting to cook up some quail and chucker, too.